Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode 51, Boundless Benefits of Being Gentle with Yourself.
Nailed it. You were a little worried.
Wow, I didn't think I was going to get through that.
I was ready.
Too much alliteration.
I was ready for a couple of takes. That was totally my episode title idea. And then when you realized it was your turn to say the title idea, we almost had to change it. Yeah, but
I was all about it until I'm the one that's got to read that.
But episode 51, that's exciting because when we hit 52, that means we've been doing this boss for
1 year.
1 year. Isn't that crazy? Wow. We'll have to do a celebration of some sort, be a little more prepared about it versus this time. We weren't really sure what to talk to you about. It's been a really busy weekend with soccer games. My mom's been in town. You had a birthday Friday we celebrated. We got tons of love from our customers, which was really nice.
Which, thank you for everyone that wrote me. If you're listening and you wrote me, thank you. I truly appreciate it.
You didn't write them. How dare you?
It's not too late.
Let's see what else. Oh, and then on top of all of that excitement, we've been launching a new product. And so the fact of the matter is we had no idea what we were going to talk to you about. So I was scrolling through old podcast and I was like, dang, there's some really good topics here. There's some really good shows. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you and we invite you to scroll back and give us a listen because we've been doing this thing for almost a year.
And maybe for some full transparency, we were downstairs sitting on the couch, just kind of pinging back and forth ideas. And I think you turned to our kids and said, what would you guys do? And I believe our son was
the one. First our daughter said, maybe Rubik's Cubes, which to be honest about that, we have talked about how there's a lot of mindset behind something difficult like a Rubik's Cube. So I don't think it was a terrible idea, but she didn't elaborate. Maybe we've even told her before that we've talked about the struggle of Rubik's Cubes on the podcast. So in her defense, that's why she said it probably. But then our son, who's 10, said,
Being easy on yourself or not beating yourself up.
Yeah, he said, What about not beating yourself up? And we said, ooh, ding, ding, ding. We might have a show topic here. And then we asked him to elaborate. Why shouldn't you beat yourself up? Do you remember what he said?
I don't.
I think he said something like, because then you just get more down and then you can't do anything about it or something like that. So we're like, okay, I think we got this from here. And so we started to play around with the idea of, well, I always like a little alliteration. So the boundless benefits of being gentle or compassionate with yourself really felt better than a show called Stop Beating Yourself Up, You Idiot. That didn't seem to be as positive and uplifting like we try to be. But we're here today to talk to you a little bit about the benefits of being gentler with yourself. And maybe you don't even realize that you are being hard on yourself. So maybe this could be just a reminder or a great time to pause and reflect and to see, because no matter which area of your life you are looking to improve or enhance, my guess is that you have some area you'd like to grow or expand or experience a new result in. No matter what it is, being harder on yourself and being meaner with yourself and being more frustrated with yourself and beating yourself up is not the ticket to changing that. And instead, the fastest path or the quickest route to that change that you desire is actually through self-compassion.
I would say for myself personally, the first time I heard you or someone say that to me, the first thought I had was, but I don't do that. Like, I don't beat myself up. Why would I do that? That sounds like a dumb thing to do. But when you actually put some awareness on it and just kind of be the watcher of your thoughts, I realize, yeah, I do. I'm actually really hard on myself. I'm harder on myself than I would be on anybody. Like, I nitpick and judge and go through all these things of that I did should have done.
Yeah.
And I realize, wow, I'm actually really hard on myself. Mm-hmm. Which
I was going to say, some people would say, yeah, because you have a high standard, you create and achieve great things.
I kind of see that.
And we have a rule in our house. We try to say and instead of but.
And I think I'm on the fence of it's not useful. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to set standards and have, you know, a certain quality level that you want to achieve, but beating yourself up is not going to get you there. I think it's only going to slow you down or push you back.
Right. And I think for someone who says, I don't beat myself up, but I'm pretty hard on myself.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
In my experience, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we're trying to say more than anything is if you can be a little gentler with yourself and see that you are trying and give yourself some grace and some credit and some compassion, typically whatever it is you want more of or whatever it is you're working towards, you'll be able to create it with so much more flow and with so much less effort if you can just take it easier on yourself.
You know, the story always stuck with me. I was at a training almost a year ago now, and being a programmer and liking 3D printing, I really liked the story. And the guy, his name's Mike Kempsky, he told the story of a person that prints, has a 3D printer, and they've programmed it to print circles. And it's printing circles left and right. One day they decide, I don't want circles, I want squares. But instead of reprogramming it, they just get mad at the printer. They cuss it, they curse it, they hit it. Like, you stupid printer, I want squares, but you're giving me circles. And they do all this, spend all this energy beating up this machine, yelling at it because it's not doing what they want, when all they really had to do is just tell it what they wanted. I don't want circles anymore, I want squares. And then the machine can do that. But when you don't think about what you want and you just look at your current results and then judge them, you get what you want, what you originally wanted.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
I think so. First I was like, I don't know where this is going. They didn't ever sit, like, put it into the computer like, hey, now we want squares. They just expected know.
Yeah. That was his story, was you pre-program this machine to make circles.
Yeah. And then you suddenly just one day decide you want
and
you, squares.
And you're making circles for years. And then one day you wake up and you're like, I'm kind of done with circles. I'm ready for squares. But you don't tell the machine that.
That's,
you just look at it and say, why are you putting circles out? I would like to have squares, but without actually going back and reprogramming the machine, working to change your mindset, you're still going to get circles.
More circles. Got it. Well, and I think that a lot of times we don't have that clarity around what we really want, and we're unwilling to sit with the discomfort of identifying what we want. It's much easier to just complain about what we don't want and how we're continually getting that. Excuse me. So the clarity of this is what I do want, and then still being gentle with yourself. I think a lot of times people, it's either on or off. Well, if I don't get what I want, then I guess I can't have it. And then they're hard on, like, it's all or nothing, where instead we're saying it's okay to have goals that are really big that you may or may not achieve. It's not really about the goal. It's about who you become on the way to the goal. But if the person you become on the way there is conniving and, someone who doesn't value other people and is malicious and all of these things, and but you get to your goal, then is that really the goal? Instead, I would say it's not. Instead, it's more about who you become along the way. So being just as mindful of that. But that was kind of a side tangent too.
And the side tangent of that,
yes,
I've heard a good comparison of, not a comparison, but normally you get what you want. And if you're not getting what you want, chances are you don't really want it, or you're not ready for it.
You get what you want. You're always getting what you want.
Yes.
Don't you think, I would argue you almost get what you think you're worth. You get what you think you deserve. And so if you don't have clarity around that, one idea for the episode, my idea was something about playing small. And we kind of tapped into that. Maybe we'll do a whole nother episode with it. Maybe not. But I kind of had this realization recently that when I pitch myself to be on other podcasts, I typically go for newer, smaller podcasts because I think that I know they're looking for guests, and I know that it'll be more likely that I get a yes instead of going for a big one that I may not hear from, or I'll get a no. And I recently decided I was tired of playing small. And so I wanted to play bigger, and yet it can be scary to put it out there that you want something and then the fear of not getting it. So I think a lot of times people don't identify what they want because they don't think they'll get it.
So in your example that you just gave, you went outside your comfort zone and you went, pitched yourself to a bigger podcast, which they did end up accepting you.
This is true.
And were you easier on yourself before or after?
Well, I haven't recorded it yet, so...
No, but the whole act of pitching it was...
Right before I did it, I was so uncomfortable. Like, I knew all day that I had put on my to-do list that I was going to pitch to this podcast. And I was so, like, there was this tension. I was just frustrated because I knew I needed to do it. And then I suddenly realized that it was so uncomfortable not doing the thing that I told myself I would or could or should or needed to do, that nothing was more uncomfortable than not doing it. Even doing it, getting rejected, even doing it and getting accepted would be easier than sitting there feeling like I should do this. Oh my gosh, I could do this, but I'm too scared. I'm nervous to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times when we are unwilling to say, this is what I want, this is what I'd like to create, it's because we're uncomfortable to some degree. We aren't willing to feel the feelings of that emotion. And one of my mentors, who's Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School, I studied under her work several years ago when I was exploring different entrepreneurial endeavors, thought maybe I'd want to be a coach, and obviously have learned a lot from that experience, but I'm no longer building a coaching practice. But she said that she can and is willing to experience any emotion, which is a big reason that she will create the success that she wants, is because she's willing to feel any emotion along the way. And so when it comes to being in our own way of something we want to create, it's often because we aren't willing to feel the emotion that may or may not be required along the way. So how does this have to do with beating yourself up, being hard on yourself? I think it really is connected, because when it comes to putting out there what we really want to create, why wouldn't we do that? Well, for fear of rejection or judgment or that failure. And yet, if we're willing to feel any emotion and be kind to ourselves and be gentle with ourselves along the way, then why wouldn't you put yourself out there? You're going to go for really big, exciting things, and you're going to love yourself through it no matter what happens. You're going to be gentle and practice self-compassion and kindness to yourself. You're not going to beat yourself up. You're going to cheer yourself on. What a perfect combination. Why wouldn't you put yourself out there if you were confident that it was about who you became, and you were confident that you would continue to be proud of yourself and not beat yourself up or be hard on yourself?
That's very good. I had the same realization when you were describing the process of pitching yourself to a podcast. The whole time I was thinking about, man, I wish I had the guts to do that. Like, I wish I felt comfortable pitching myself to a podcast. And then I started going down the path of, yeah, but you're not that good at it. And then I'm like, whoa, we're being gentle on ourselves today. Take it easy. Like, either I'm not ready, or maybe that's not my thing to do. I don't know, but there's no usefulness for me to sit there and just go through all the list of all the things I did wrong and why I can't pitch myself as well. You know what I mean?
You get what you think you deserve.
Exactly.
So
that's good.
Yeah. You have this belief that you're not the story that you've been telling, that you're not as good at it, or it doesn't come as naturally to you. Mm-hmm. But the same thing, I was talking to a friend of mine at a party today. She said she's having kind of a hard time in school because it's a computer class and she's really uncomfortable and she doesn't know what she's doing. And I'm like, oh, that's the perfect model for your kids, because they're doing things all the time that's new and uncomfortable and they don't know what they're doing. And if you can show them, look, I'm willing to suck at first. Look, I'm willing to be a beginner and learn something new, and I'm willing to feel uncomfortable in this unknowing of how to do this, but slowly I get better and better. If you're willing to do that, your kids will see that more than any time you try to explain a lesson to them. They will watch you, and being willing to not be as good at first and then practice it. That's obviously what we've been doing with this podcast. And I think that maybe if you pitched yourself on a podcast, things would be different now versus a year ago when we first got started. When we first got started, I used to have to, like, we would have some serious issues with hitting record. I would be like, come on, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. And yeah, you're like, I just don't feel it. I'm like, I don't care if you don't feel it. We need to do it. Let's get it done. And, you know, kind of be this like hard driving. And it was just really uncomfortable for you, but you powered through it. And you hopefully were not too hard on yourself. And you were gentler on yourself. And more you saw that it's just not something you had ever practiced. And so, of course, now that you've practiced it more, you're better and better at it.
I think more and more I agree with what you're saying. That this does feel a little more comfortable now that we've done almost a year's worth of these podcasts. It is easier. But I think to add to what you were saying about being uncomfortable, like doing something that's uncomfortable, I think I've realized recently for me that that's when the most growth happens. That's when you're at the edge of your orbit, at the edge of your experience, and you can go back to what you're good at, mm-hmm. or maybe not, what you're comfortable at. And you can do that, but you're not growing. You're doing the same old mundane task. You're doing the same. But when you do the thing you don't know how to do, that's when you're actually growing.
But most people won't do that because they'll beat themselves up. Yeah. They'll be hard on themselves. No, so
I've done it. I know.
It's full circle to say, take a chance. Go out on a limb. Be creative. Manifest something. Pitch yourself. And then be really gentle to yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're hard on yourself and you don't give yourself any compassion, you're not going to take chances or risks. So do you see how being unwilling to be kind to yourself is keeping you stuck exactly where you are?
Yeah, but for some reason in my head, somewhere I thought, if I'm harder on myself, I'll push myself harder. And I just don't think it works mm-hmm. like that. It's just, it's not, maybe you will. Maybe over a long period of time you will. But I still don't think so.
Why would you take a risk or take a chance that's really big and scary if you know that you don't have your own back?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I didn't even know really fully about this episode until I started going, but now I'm really sure about this stuff, guys. This is really important. If you're not kind to yourself and gentle to yourself and forgiving and compassionate, you then won't be willing to take risks and to really create the kind of life that you're meant to. And I think that's part of why we're here, is just to fully step into our power of creation, of creating our life and creating the way we see the world moment by moment. But you're not going to be such an extravagant creator if you're always so hard on yourself. So this invitation to be kinder to yourself and to reevaluate, maybe you don't say, oh, I beat myself up, but I have a very high standard and I'm very strong preference for how I like things a certain way. And if I don't do it, then I'm frustrated. Well, that's all still the same of not showing yourself that compassion and grace and kindness, which is in your way of yourself. You are in your own way.
Yeah. I would definitely invite someone, if they say, I don't beat myself up, spend a day, spend some time, put some awareness on it. Really think about, pay attention to your thoughts, what you're thinking about. Are you kind to yourself? Because mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people are way more harder on themselves than they think they are.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, before we wrap up, mm-hmm. I do want to share that this episode today is brought to you by our newest product, the one that we were in launch mode and are still in launch mode for. It is called SBO Mood Boost, and it is a spore-based organism probiotic, which is different from all of our other probiotics. So I'll quickly elaborate, and then we can kind of wrap up the show. But basically, our other three probiotics are all lactobacillus and bifidobacteria based. And we had been doing our research and listening to our customers and realized that there is a huge need and a huge market for soil-based or spore-based organism probiotics, which just work differently in the microbiome. And certain people just seem to do better with them. And just kind of a little backstory is that we were actually getting this type of probiotic or good bacteria when we were growing our own foods and eating root vegetables that came from the earth that had that good bacteria on them. However, now due to the way our food is processed and cleaned and zapped, those good bacteria are no longer something that we actually have regular access to. And because we have antibiotics not only in our medical processes, but also in our food supply, unfortunately, our microbiome is getting taxed more and more and more. And so by giving your microbiome a positive boost with good bacteria, it not only helps with your digestion, but of course your mental health and your immune health. So the newest probiotic is called SBO Mood Boost. It is what we will now call probably the green one, because it is a green label, not a green capsule. So anyway, we'd love for you to check that out. As you know, this show is brought to you by most of our products because that's how we justify doing this thing. So did you have something to add to that?
Yeah. So me personally, I typically take two mood boosting probiotics in the blend. That's like my regimen in the morning is those three pills. And then we were kind of talking when SBO came out and you said, you know, you could substitute one of your mood boostings with SBO. So I switched it up. So I take one mood boosting, one SBO in the blend. And I haven't switched products in a while. Like I think I did Bifidus one time, and you know, we're always talking about how everyone is different, and Bifidus isn't for me, but it's for you and you, the different one. And I had forgotten that what it's like when
you start a new probiotic.
So I would invite people, if you're thinking about doing that, you should really take it slow.
Yeah. And by opening the capsule and did you just experience a little bit of a digestive jolt? Is that kind of what you mean, or why do they need to go slow?
For me, yeah, it wasn't bad enough. Like, A, I knew that that was a possibility. And yes, there was a digestive shift that it wasn't bad or anything. It was just different. And then I realized, oh, this is what people are talking about when they write us and say this, which.
But most of the time, those are people who have never taken a probiotic, and then suddenly they have all that new good bacteria.
Yeah, it was nothing like I wouldn't take it again or anything like that. I'm just saying like, oh, this is what people, this is something that's different.
Right. Anyway.
But overall, it's been good. I mean, that was like one day of that.
And then it went to normal. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing. We are still waiting on a lot of feedback from our customers about it. So we're really excited to get that out into people's hands and microbiomes. Okay. So, I think that's a wrap on the episode. Hopefully, you made some connections and seeing how being gentler with yourself could in fact help you to achieve your greatest dreams and to live a life that's more fulfilling and also exciting, because you are going to be more willing to take some chances and risks knowing that you have your own back. I think that's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Lift a Life podcast.